in a very unique period in Earth's history. And we're watching some incredible things that are unfolding around us if we're paying attention. And there are also some things that are happening that that have me very concerned. And I'd like to speak to those things here this morning. So I'm going to pray one more time. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as I kneel. Father in heaven, thank you for taking such an incredible risk to save us. And because of the incredible sacrifice that was made, you have made it available to us to become part of the family of God. And Lord, we're gathered here today because we want to hear a word from you. And Father, you know the delicate nature of the presentation that I'll be presenting. We need the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that you will filter everything that is spoken from up here today through the Holy Spirit, and may each person glean what they need where they are. And we thank you for that so much, Father. You have said in your word that where two or three are gathered, you are there. And so we humbly welcome you. We don't deserve your presence, Lord, but it's our great need that calls for it. And we thank you for that so much. So may it be the voice of Jesus we hear now. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. On December 29, 1972, Eastern Airlines Flight 401 left from New York John F. Kennedy Airport en route to Miami on a scheduled flight. The aircraft was a then modern and brand new Lockheed TriStar L-1011. The more than 2 hour flight was uneventful to Miami International. The pilots tried to lower the landing gear and noticed the small green light indicating whether the nose wheel was locked down did not come on. Thinking the problem was simply a burned out bulb, the captain and first officer put the plane on autopilot and tried to replace the gear indicator light on their own. In the process, one of the pilots accidentally bumped the control stick, turning off the automatic pilot, but no one noticed. Unknown to the crew, which was busy replacing the bulb, the plane began a gradual descent from its assigned altitude of 2,000 feet. Over the black Everglades on a moonless night, the pilots had no outside reference to tell them how high they were, though their equipment was communicating that fact. But no one noticed. The second officer went down into the plane's hold, which is a small space between the cockpit, to confirm whether the landing gear was locked down. He was seeking for a visual confirmation. While he was below, a quiet, low-altitude warning chime went off on his flight engineer's position, but no one heard it. At 11:42 that night, the plane crashed. The crew believed they had the situation well assessed, that they knew what they were doing. But the truth was they were distracted by a $12 light bulb and failed to recognize the signs that they were about to crash. I believe that this is a frightening illustration of the distraction that many in our denomination today are experiencing because of the current COVID-19 and vaccine crisis. I need not remind anyone here this morning regarding the question which many in our world are grappling with right now because of COVID, of whether or not they should take the vaccine. Today we see a lot of division and controversy surrounding this topic on our planet. It doesn't surprise me that the world is embroiled in this division, but it does surprise me in seeing God's end-time church embroiled in the same. Here's a quick recap of what is basically being said on both sides of the issue regarding the vaccine. Those in favor say that by not taking the vaccine, you are not only endangering yourself, but you're endangering those around you. The idea here is that if everyone were to be vaccinated, this would bring an end to the COVID crisis. Those against the vaccine point to the fact that the vaccine is experimental. They point out that unlike other vaccines, this vaccine has no virus in it. It is a new drug which actually communicates with one's DNA. They point out that quite a number in our country and around the world who have taken the vaccine have died, and also point to the number who are now faced with lifelong debilitating injuries. They also express concern over the fact that there are no studies on the vaccine's long-term effects. They also cite the data indicating that one can be vaccinated and still get COVID and transmit it. Thus, both sides are accusing the other of placing themselves and others at risk. And both sides are dead sure that their view is the correct one. So here is the bottom line. Either way you look at it, whichever choice you make will involve some kind of risk to yourself and to others. That's the bottom line. There is simply no easy way out of this one. That then being true, each one must be allowed to prayerfully research the matter out for themselves and make their own decision without being ridiculed, harassed, threatened, intimidated, pressured, or forced. Each one must make an earnest, honest, and prayerful study of the matter and then make the best informed decision they can. There's a lot of data actually being presented on both sides of this issue, so all must study them carefully and prayerfully while not pushing their views on others. We must give to all the same courtesy and freedom that we ourselves wish to be treated with. And that is fair. Yet how easy it is for humanity to just follow the crowd. How easy it is for us to push our views on others. And this is what is happening, my friends. From governments to businesses, from schools and even churches, people are being pressured, mocked, intimidated, and forced into taking the vaccine or to not take it. Again, I can understand the world getting caught up in this, but God's end time church? Something is wrong. Right here, I would like to ask a few questions. Stay with me. Friends, will there be vaccinated people in heaven? Where will there be unvaccinated people in heaven? Okay. How about this one? Do you believe that people who are unkind, who mock, who belittle others, who use pressure tactics, harassment and intimidation and even force, will they be in heaven? The answer is no. This attitude will not make it into the kingdom of God, for these are the principles that govern the kingdom of darkness. Are we listening? There is a much larger picture that we need to consider than just COVID and the vaccine. We have a much larger fish to fry. Let's not get distracted by a $12 bulb while the signs of Christ's soon coming are thickening around us. As I watch the controversy unfolding in our denomination over this issue, I am fearful for our people for two reasons. The first is that this has quickly become a character issue. The methods we use reveal whose kingdom we are of. Profession is nothing. Actions speak louder than words. In Review and Herald, August 18, 1896, we find this quote. Earthly kingdoms are established and upheld by physical force, but this was not to be the foundation of the Messiah's kingdom. In the establishment of his government, no carnal weapons were to be used. No, what's the next word? Coercion practice. No attempt would be made to force the conscience of men. These are the principles used by the Prince of Darkness for the government of his kingdom. His agents are actively at work, seeking in their human independence to enact laws which are in direct contrast to Christ's mercy and loving kindness. It's become a character issue, my friends. A wise old friend once said to me, George, you can tell which side of the battle you're on by whose weapons you're using. My friends, we can't be Christ while using the devil's methods. It's just that simple. Jesus did not operate this way. Force, pressure, mockery, intimidation has no place among God's people who are awaiting the soon return of Jesus. It is not right to do this ever, but especially on an issue that is so incredibly debatable and controversial. Each must allow their brother and sister in Christ to prayerfully research the matter out for themselves, then be given the freedom to make the best decision they can, and then respect that decision whether or not we agree with it. We must never forget that the end goal of God's plan to save us is to reproduce in man the character of God which humanity lost in the Garden of Eden. Only then, brothers and sisters, will we be safe to save. Are we listening? We are to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to form characters that reflect the loving character of our gentle Savior. We've been told that the only thing that we will take with us to heaven is what? Is our character. We need to be mindful and intentional here if we intend to be saved in the end. We need to be asking ourselves each day, am I conducting myself as Jesus would if he were in my place? In Great Controversy, page 229, we find this one simple sentence, the characters formed in this life will determine the future destiny. In Christ's Object Lessons, page 332, a character formed according to the divine likeness is the only treasure that we can take from this world to the next. In Volume 5, Testimonies, 219, genuine faith is followed by what? Love. And love by obedience. All the powers and passions of the converted man are brought under the control of Christ. His Spirit is a renewing power, transforming to the divine image all who will receive it. It makes me sad to say that this experience is understood by but few who profess the truth. Very many follow on in their own ways and indulge their own sinful desires and yet profess to be disciples of Christ. They have never submitted their hearts to God. Like the foolish virgins, they have neglected to obtain the oil of grace in their vessels with their lamps. And brothers and sisters, that oil is being poured out today. We need to be receiving it. In notebook leaflets from Elms Haven, page 99, we read, those who claim to believe the truth do not possess the power that God would bestow upon them if they really believed. And we're, what's the next word? Striving for what? Conformity to his image. The church is in a Laodicean state. The presence of God is not in her midst. If Christ were formed within the hope of glory, conformity to his image would be what? Seen. And the church trials, which separate the members from Christ, would soon what? I believe that a large part of the problem that we're seeing now is found in who it is we're listening to and what it is that has our focus. Who is it that we're allowing to inform our views and thus shape us? King Solomon, long ago, issued a warning that I believe is very relevant to the problem that we are currently facing, and it's found in Proverbs 14, verse 2. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. My friends, are we sure of what we believe? Is our focus in the right place? Are the sources we're looking to really trustworthy? Are we sure we are seeing things correctly? Have we truly, prayerfully studied this matter for ourselves with an open mind, or are we trusting the so-called experts on this matter to do our thinking for us? As I watch what is unfolding around us in our world, I find myself thinking about Noah and what he faced in his world. Our Lord and Savior reminded us that in the last days, things would resemble Noah's day. It was Jesus who said, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Please understand that what that's saying is that what we're facing, he faced. So here are some questions. Were the people that lived before the flood, were they smarter and more advanced than us or less? They were considerably smarter than us, a whole lot more. We measure our lifespan in decades. They measured theirs in centuries. They weren't far from the Garden of Eden. So their intellect was powerful. And yet, when God warned that a flood was coming, how many experts and scholars got on the ark? Not one. That ought to send up a red flag for us right here now. How many of those who listened to the scholars and experts of their day, how many of them got on the ark? Not one. How safe is it then to place our complete confidence on the experts and theologians of our day? I mean, if we had lived in Noah's day and turned on the so-called and turned to the so-called smart and highly educated people of that time and took in their views, would we have entered the ark and survived the flood? No. My friends, are we doing this with the COVID crisis? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't listen to experts. What I am saying is that we should also be prayerfully doing our own research and not mindlessly following what others are telling us. We all need to be doing our own thinking, because if we're not, then somebody else is doing it for us and we're going to be lost. My friends, we can rest assured that it is the devil who's behind this. Now let me pause here. You can blame Bill Gates if you want. I'm sure he's involved. You can blame all the theologians and whoever else and the politicians and whoever else. And the answer would be yes, they're involved. But we're told that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Look beyond the man. It is the devil that's doing this to us. He is the one who has brought the COVID upon us. And my friends, he has a tailor-made deception for those on the left-hand side of this issue and those on the right side. Do you believe that? Buyer beware. My friends, where have we placed our confidence? Where are we looking to interpret and understand the events that are now unfolding in our world? To CNN and Fox News? To the latest internet site? Or to the latest doctor or pastor who claims to have all the answers? Heaven help us. You see, Noah and his family did not do this. Is it possible that if we do whatever they did, that we will be prepared for the real crisis that even now is stealing upon us? I firmly believe so. Now, does the Bible give us a clue as to what Noah and his family did? It does. In Hebrews 11:7, by faith, that means trust, Noah being what? Divinely warned of things what? Not yet seen. By the way, if he started building the ark when he saw the clouds coming, it'd have been too late. Being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world that mocked him, by the way, and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. If he had been concerned about peer pressure, he'd have never made it. Here, my friends, is found the key. Noah and his family had a prophetic world view. They viewed things from God's prophetic word. They did not look to the CNN or Fox News or the politicians or websites or smart people of their day to understand the events that were unfolding in their world. They viewed everything that was happening through the framework of God's prophetic word. They knew what was coming upon the earth because God had told them and warned them to get ready for it. Noah viewed it all through God's word. My friends, if we're going to survive what's coming, we had better do the same. Nothing has taken God by surprise. Can you say amen? And if we study his word in the spirit of prophecy and obey the directives given to us by God, we will be ready for what's coming and will not be distracted by the devil and his $12 bulbs. This is the second thing that has me concerned about our people. I fear that many are distracted from or have never really understood our prophetic mission or message. And it is now showing. Many are responding no different than the world is. The Apostle Peter reminds us of the importance of having a biblical prophetic world view. 2 Peter 1:19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a what? A light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. If you want hope, open your Bible. If you want to understand what's really going on, study Daniel and Revelation. Sister White adds this quote that's really been echoing and re-echoing in my mind as of late. Review and Herald, August 5, 1902. Those who place themselves under God's control to be led and guided by Him will catch the steady trend of the events ordained by Him to take place. When we're in the Word of God, when we're studying His prophecies, we're going to catch what's happening. And we will not be responding like the world. The prophetic book of Revelation chapter 10 reveals the rise of an end time movement whose message would circle the world, preparing it for the second coming of Christ. Revelation 11 gives the approximate time that this movement would manifest itself on the world theater. Revelation 12 then places that movement in the context of the great controversy which began in heaven. Revelation 13 reveals the final crisis this movement will face, and Revelation 14, 6 through 11 gives us the message this movement will give, symbolized by three angels, which we call the three angels' message. Now, for the sake of time, we're not going to read all those verses, but I am going to give you a quick highlight of each angel's message. Verses 6 and 7 introduce to us the first angel. When the first angel sounds, it marks the beginning of Jesus' final work in the plan of salvation. Here we find that Jesus works to purge the heavenly sanctuary of our sins through the judgment process. At that time, there is to be a corresponding cleansing from sin in the lives of God's waiting people on earth who are getting ready to be translated. In cooperation with the Holy Spirit, they are to form characters. In preparation for the second coming, and that work began on October 22, 1844. In verse 8, the second angel reveals that the majority of the Christian world would reject this message. And you know, there are a lot within our own ranks that don't know these messages. That needs to change. In verses 9 through 11, the third angel informs us of what will be the result of this rejection. In rejecting God's last loving invitation and warning to the world will receive the mark of the beast, the seven last plagues, and be eternally lost. These three angels, my friends, point fallen man. They point fallen man to the power of God to save to the uttermost those who place their confidence in Jesus and His power to forgive and to transform the repentant sinner. Can you say amen? There's hope for every one of us here if we will just look to Jesus. It is our work not only to yield our lives to Christ and His work in us, but also to share this good news to others. Christ's Object Lessons, page 69. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of Himself in His church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in His people, then He will come to claim them as His own. It is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're all who profess His name bearing fruit to His glory. That's character. How quickly the whole world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. Quickly the last great harvest would be ripened and Christ would come to gather the precious grain. My friends, it is this now that must have our focus, not CNN and not Fox. Volume 9, Testimony 19. In a special sense, Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as watchmen and light bearers. To them has been entrusted the last warning of a perishing world, for a perishing world. On them is shining wonderful light from the Word of God. They have been given a work of the most solemn import, the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages. There is no other work of so great importance. Wow! Let that sink in. Nothing is more important now. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. And then in Paulson's Collections 82, evangelistic work, opening the scriptures to others, warning men and women of what is coming upon the world, is to occupy more and still more of the time of God's servants. I am thankful and not surprised to learn that this fall you will be having an evangelistic series. My friends, we need to approach this with the attitude that this may very well be our last. Every one of us have people we bump into every day. We must give the invitation to every soul. Even those that appear unpromising. Are you listening to me? Even those who we think will not be interested. God does not expect us to be successful, but He does expect us to be faithful. We are to invite everyone. Everyone, this is our message, brothers and sisters, which determines our destiny, and it must have our full attention now, because time is running out. Friends, we must never forget, please hear me, we must never forget that a crisis does not make or break a person. It only reveals the person. It reveals who we're listening to and who we are allowing to shape our worldview and thus our lives. We are either becoming more like the world or more like Jesus. We are either intentionally preparing ourselves and others for heaven or we're merely playing church and we're going to be lost with the rest of the world. The COVID and vaccine crisis must not be allowed to overshadow or distract us from our mission or our message. It is the devil that is behind this crisis, and he is seeking to create division in our world and in our church. We must be careful not to get distracted by him and chase his rabbits. And by the way, this current crisis is child's play compared to what's coming. You know, I'll share with you what I see unfolding here. I am beginning to wonder now if we have not entered into that period that we have come to call the little time of trouble. I believe we've entered it. I hear people say that this is a dry run. I do not believe this is a dry run. I believe the crisis is now stealing upon us. You see, we have an understanding of some of the big points. What we don't have an understanding of is its development, how we get there. I believe that the devil is pulling a frog in the pot syndrome on us. If you look at this COVID crisis, I'm not even talking about COVID vaccine now. If you look at the crisis, it is actually has the very similar elements to the Sunday law and the issues that are coming. If you're paying attention, forced issue, global issue, and now the buying and selling issue. I'm not saying that this is it. I'm saying that it's preparing us for it. I believe we're seeing something that's unfolding upon us in stages. This is stage one, COVID. Stage two is going to be climate change. And behind it will be the Sunday law. I am submitting to you, this thing's going to spin on us faster than we think. If you know anything about Adventist history, we know that the people of God are now approaching the Jordan for the second time. The first time, our pioneers were supposed to pass without seeing death. So all of this was going to spin off in their lifetime in a short period of time. Are we listening? If we think this thing's going to be stretched out for decades, you're going to miss the boat. It's not. It'll spin off very quickly. My friends, if we're paying close attention to God and His Word, we are going to catch the steady trend of the events that are now unfolding before our eyes. The COVID crisis is being used by the devil to lay down the groundwork for the Sunday law crisis, which is going to be upon us a whole lot sooner than we think. The devil is using this crisis to put the finishing touches on what he is about to unleash upon the Seventh-day Adventist Church and upon an unsuspecting world. He is now working to cut off every avenue of escape for the human family. This is not the time for the Church of God to be divided on this or any other issue. Now more than ever, we need to be uniting and working with Jesus to warn and save an imperiled world. What the Seventh-day Adventist Church needs now is not a COVID worldview. It needs a prophetic worldview. The last item that I would like to finish with is one that is very closely connected with the three angels' message, and that has to do with health. How many here believe that God has made provision for His church to face whatever the devil might throw at her in the final moments? How many believe that God knows the future? How many believe that God foresaw the COVID crisis and every other health challenge the human family has faced or ever will face? Do we really believe that? Do we really know what we claim to believe? You know, I have to make a pathetic confession here up front. I have never read Ministry of Healing all the way through. I see the doctor here. Doc, I did not realize that the only book Ellen White ever wrote on health was Ministry of Healing. I didn't know that. I'd seen all these books, and I just thought, how in the world am I going to get on top of all of that? It's kind of overwhelming. But when that was introduced to me, I thought, oh, wait a second. So the others are compilations. Oh. So I had done forays into Ministry of Healing, but I'd never read it through. What a powerful book. What a powerful plan God has given to us to keep us well and to withstand the sicknesses and whatnot is coming upon the world. Brothers and sisters, I challenge you to make that your read this year. We need to understand how God works so we can cooperate with Him. Because I believe we're about to see some really bad things break out in the world in the area of health. I really do. We need that. God has given to us the answers. We need to be on top of it. Now, we all know that we're living in the final moments of Earth's history, yes? The human gene pool is weaker than it has ever been. And because of things like pollution, genetics, perverted appetites, and depleted soil, the human family is weak and very susceptible to disease. Am I right? Knowing this then, how important is it that we closely follow God's health message that Jesus lovingly has given to us? Is it possible that if we followed it, that it would help us to be successful in facing the COVID crisis? You know, the experts told us that it was a 3% death rate. Then they told us it was higher than that. Let's take a look at the numbers. I'm going to share with you some actual numbers. All of you have your cell phones. Don't use them now. But when you go home, you can check up the pastor for yourself. In the Carolina Conference, COVID death rate in North and South Carolina was 0.04%. These are the numbers. In South Carolina, I pulled this off of Google, North and South Carolina combined, because I wanted to compare the two, was 1.3%. Now, can you say that the Adventist health message made an impact? Interestingly enough, on my way in today, I wanted to check out Idaho. Idaho is 1.2% death rate. And you can look it up. Now, these numbers I find very curious because that's actually the death rate of an average flu season. That's what the numbers are saying. You can interpret it whichever way you want. Those are the numbers. And if you really want to see something interesting, get the population of the United States and how many have died and look at what percentage pops up. You're going to find it very interesting. And by the way, the numbers from the CDC keep dropping as to how many actually died of COVID. These are things you can look up. What I'm challenging the church to do is don't let people think for you. Volume 1, Testimony 486. The health reform I was shown is part of the third angel's message, and it is just as closely connected with it as are the arm and hand with the human body. I saw that we are a people, that we as a people must make advanced move in this great work. Ministers and people must act in concert. God's people are not prepared for the loud cry of the third angel because of this issue. They have a work to do for themselves, which they should not leave for God to do for them. He has left this work for them to do. It is a what work? Individual work. One cannot do it for another. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Gluttony is the prevailing sin of this age. Lustful appetite makes slaves of men and women. And what? Beclouds their intellect, stupefies their moral sensibilities to such a degree that sacred elevated truths of God's word are not what? They're not appreciated. Let's flesh this out a little more. And I'm going to step on toes here today. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm more interested in your soul than you liking me. How's that? Volume 3, Selected Messages, 287. Tea, coffee, and alcohol we must present as what? Sinful. Very interesting. She classifies these things along with tobacco and alcohol. Caffeine is what we find in coffee and tea. And I'm sure, because of the diligent work and the speakers that Lorraine brings to this church, we know that a cup of coffee reduces the blood flow to the brain by 40%. The battle is for your brain, because that's where we make our decisions. Look, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I used to be hooked on this stuff myself. But when I realized what God was saying, I had to make a decision. Are you with me? And the way I did it, if this is going to help anyone, you know, if there's anybody here who's a weenie like me, and doesn't want to go cold turkey and deal with the headache. What I did is I just went half and half, unleaded regular, what do you call it, decaf with caffeinated. And I just kept reducing the caffeinated and increasing the decaf until I was totally decaf. And then I got off without the headache. Got it done in a week. But my friends, we're almost home. This isn't time to be fooling around. This stuff has started making its way into the Church of God that had this council. We got to throw it out. But this is an individual work. Each of us have to make that decision. We cannot place on the same ground meat, eggs, butter, cheese, and other articles placed upon the table. These are not to be borne in the front burden of our work. The former, tea, coffee, tobacco, beer, wine, and let me add drugs, and all spurious liquors are not to be taken moderately, but discarded. Why? Because you're in jeopardy. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 562. True temperance teaches us to dispense entirely with everything hurtful and to use judiciously that which is helpful. There are few who realize, as they should, how much their habits of diet have to do with their health, their character, their usefulness for this world, and their what? What we eat and what we drink matters. I'm going to share something here that a conclusion I've reached. If you're struggling with sin or character flaws, before you do anything else, correct your diet. That's what this just told us. Your moral sensibilities will sharpen. Your ability to recognize God's voice speaking to you saying, don't say it. You will hear it better. I continue. Ministry of Healing 128. Whatever injures the health not only lessens physical vigor, but tends to weaken the mental and what? Moral powers. Indulgence in any unhealthful practice makes it more difficult for one to discriminate between right and wrong. Hence, more difficult to what? Resist evil. It increases the danger of failure and defeat. I want to make a confession here. I liked filet mignon. Give me barbecued ribs and slap on the sauce. When I grew up, if it didn't have a face, I didn't eat it. I didn't like fruit at all. I didn't. And I tolerated vegetables, but I was meat eater all the way through. Why did I give it up? Because I liked broccoli more? No, I gave it up because I found something better. I found something better. And it was a journey. It didn't happen all at once. I didn't know how to eat like a vegetarian. I didn't think that was even possible, that you could survive off of that. I didn't think it was even be good to eat. I didn't think it'd be palatable. There may be somebody in this room thinking the same thing. I can tell you, friend, that it is doable. And I wouldn't go back to what I ate before for nothing. And now I like fruit. And I like vegetables. You couldn't have convinced me that I was going to get to this point. My friends, we got to make a decision here. The Lord is coming. Ministry of Healing 127. Pure air, sunlight, abstinence, abstemiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power. These are what? True remedies. And you know, sunlight, what do you get from sunlight, friend? Vitamin D. Now, in this part of the world, it's kind of tough to get that all year round, so you have to supplement. But I want to share something with you. I'm in an area that's an Adventist Mecca. There's an Adventist hospital, and I have friends with lots of Adventist physicians. And they tell me that it is unheard of somebody dying of COVID with high vitamin D levels. The next one, Christian temperance and Bible hygiene, page 119. Again and again, I have been shown that God is trying to lead us back step by step to the original design, that man should subsist upon the natural products of the earth. Among those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord, meat eating will eventually be done away. Flesh will cease to form a part of their diet. We should ever keep this end in view and endeavor to work steady toward it. Why? Because it's a character issue. And, you know, if you know anything about the anatomy of people and animals, there is a real difference between carnivores and herbivores. Their teeth are different, the way their jaw moves. Carnivores can't do this. Herbivores do this. Carnivores is this way only. And if you look at the colon of a carnivore, it's very short. And vegetarians is long. We were not designed to eat that. And of course, I get it. There was a time, Noah, I know the story. But the idea was to get off that eventually. And so I remember a story when I was attending a church in Lad Springs. There was a physician there. And honey, I can't remember his name.
I guess it doesn't matter. But before he was an Adventist, he and his family were big into hunting, and they would hunt bear. And they had hunting dogs, bear dogs, that were pets. But when hunting season was coming, they had to prepare their bear dogs for hunting season. And they didn't like have a classroom and their dogs sitting there going, this is bear, bite here. The way they prepared them is that they gave them raw meat. They gave them meat to eat. And by the time bear season came along, he told us, you couldn't pet those dogs. They were so aggressive. It affects our character, my friends. Review and Herald, 1902. And by the way, that's a process to get off of animal food and go to. So, you know, don't think you have to do that by next Tuesday. There are health cooking schools that are had here. Get involved. Greater reforms should be seen among the people who claim to be looking for the soon appearing of Christ. Health reform is to do among our people a work which it has not yet done. There are those who ought to be awake to the danger of meat eating, who are still eating the flesh of animals, thus endangering the physical, mental, and what? Spiritual health. Many who are now only half converted on the question of meat eating will go from God's people to walk no more with them. No games. No games. With God's help, we need to be intentional in following God's instruction on health, my friends. The time is come. And I don't have time to touch on the importance of us having a garden, even if you just have a little one. But learning and the counsel given to us about living in the country. In closing, my friends, I want to remind all that we have a world to warn and win for Jesus. The world is waiting for a revelation of the character of Jesus Christ in each one of us. And character is always revealed in a crisis. The crisis is coming. The real one. This crisis ought to be showing us, the COVID crisis right now should be showing us what it is we are building on. The gentle Savior never used methods like pressure, harassment, mockery, intimidation, or force. These are the methods of the arch fiend. One day, very soon, much sooner than we realize, Jesus will return. Amen. And when he does, he'll be coming for a group of people that will be safe to save because they are like him. May that describe each and every one of us here today. Is my prayer. Father in heaven, Father, we need eyes now. We need to recognize that this is not normal. Things aren't going back to what they were. The runway has been lined up. We're on approach. Help us, Father, to recognize the hour, to not get caught up in the things of this life, to not focus on what other people say is happening, but rather focus on what you are telling us is actually happening. Father, help us to remember that whichever side of the issue we may find ourselves, if we do not reflect your character, it's all for nothing. Oh, Lord, I pray, give us eyes so that we can behold Jesus in others. That as we open your word, we can hear his voice speaking to our hearts. As we walk in nature, we can recognize your hand. Oh, Father, give us a hunger for heaven. I do pray. And on the day that you... And Lord, I pray that as we approach this year's Evangelistic Series, Father, may each of our prayer be, Lord, what would you have me to do? Oh, Father, help us to invite any and everyone, not to exclude anyone, Lord. I do pray. And then, Lord, on the day you return, our prayers that we may meet you in peace, along with our loved ones and those we labored for. Thank you. We praise you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.